Okay, so welcome to the Opposites Day call today on the 16th of April. On the call we have Jim Galvin, Mark Hofter, and Mikey O'Connor. And from ICANN staff we have Bart Boswinkel, Julie Hedlund, and Christina Nordstrom. And apologies from Olivier Crispin LeBlanc and Jörg Schweiger.
Thanks, Christina.
And
welcome. Oh, and Patrick's on. Oh, good.
Yeah,
oh,
just joined. Sorry.
I only have one thing on my mind, but we can talk about anything anybody else wants to talk about. I sort of want to drive this confidential information draft to ground and see if we can get that out to the group. Is there anything that people want to talk about in addition to that? Okay. Well, so I'm sorry that I made a change so late. I just pushed it out to the ops list, and I will do a little screen sharing here to get it up on your screen. Let me kind of replay the bidding for what's been going on. We had a conversation about this last week, which I thought was really useful and helpful. And the substance of that meeting, I think, can be summarized by saying that, you know, it may be really hard to get confidential information in the context of our charter, because some of that information is just so sensitive that the people who are really directly responsible for the security of the DNS, whether they're ICANN folks or other DNS providers, would just be unwilling to share it. And that prompted me and Olivier to reach out respectively to Chuck Gomes, who's with VeriSign and one of the charterers, and Chris Spain, who's another charterer, just to sort of check signals. And the word we got back from both of them was pretty similar. We heard, Olivier and I just heard back from Chris, and I don't have permission to share Chris's email. I don't think it's anything secret, and I'm going to go ahead and summarize it. It was a very brief note back, but I don't like pushing emails out without getting people's permission, so I'll get his permission and push it out to the list later today. But Chris pretty much said the same thing that Chuck did, which is, yes, indeed, they were hopeful that we, the DSSA, could create a space where, in some cases, those folks would be willing to share information. But they were also both realistic in saying, you know, that just may not be possible. And so I went ahead and sort of beefed up a couple of things in the draft with the hope that by doing that we might raise the odds that we could get, in some cases, participation by information providers. And I just wanted to go through those with you, especially Mark and Jim, just to get a sense as to whether I'm on the right track and if we're comfortable with this or can improve it to the point where we're comfortable with it. I'd like to push it out to the group and get a tentative approval on Thursday, because one of the points that Chuck raised, which I thought was a good one, was that when it's good to have this in advance, because there's no way we can build this on the fly right at the time that we're trying to solicit confidential information, because people are going to have to review this with folks. And so it's very useful to have this at least out there so that people can, you know, especially technical and security people, can check back with various folks and see if see if it's okay. Jim is in the chat saying, I read your changes when you distributed them and nothing jumped out for me as being a concern. That's good. I'm glad to hear that. Go ahead, Jim.
Oh, this is Mark, and I agree with Jim. I'm with Jim on this.
So, no concern. Do you think that by amping it up a little bit, we get over the yeah, right problem that we talked about last time? Or do we just give it a try and deal with it when, you know, we're actually in the thick of it? Any thoughts about that?
I think it's worth giving a shot, see what happens.
Okay.
Yeah, just ask the crowd. You never know. Everybody has an opinion, kind of like other body parts.
I think the thing that I really want to check on is, one of the things that these changes do is it makes it really clear that this could be a very small, very tightly controlled group of people, that this is not representative, open, transparent policymaking type stuff. This is primarily a way to handle really sensitive information, and we are leaning as hard as we can to favor the information providers in this. And I think the reason that I want to check on this is because I think it was Don Blumenthal who raised this on the list, and I'm going to lean into Don a bit if he's on the call on Thursday. You know, Don was saying, well, all this business about vouching and maintaining vouching and stuff, that seems overly harsh once somebody's on the group. They should be able to stay. And I don't think that's true. I think that these groups are likely to tend to be really small, and the least discomfort on the part of an information provider and a person can get removed. And, I just want to confirm that that's okay with you guys, because, we may run into this situation. I think the two big changes, this business here that's on the screen, this is just sort of amplifying all that. But then let me roll down. I'm going to go to the very end. I amped this up a bit. And I went in the opposite direction to the direction that I think Don would like me to go, which is I think Don would like to make the exit path less aggressive than this, and I made it more aggressive by adding the information provider bullet to this. And again, I think that the reason is because this policy is for the information providers. It's not for the whole DSSA or even all of the ICANN community. This is not an open, transparent thing. This is about protecting information. And so this is a zig in the opposite direction, and I just want to make sure that we're okay with that before I lobby for it.
I'm totally cool with it. If I was an information provider, I would want all kinds of controls on controlling the dissemination of this without it being sort of cleaned up in some way.
Yeah. Now, do you think this is enough?
I said before, and I think and Jim agreed was, or actually the vice versa, is that I think this is a good start, and who knows where the information providers would actually want it to bring it down beyond this. But I think it's a good start.
Well, maybe as you say that, one of the things that I could do is I could add a clause to this that leaves the door open for information providers to add restrictions at the time of either formation or when the group is, so that Because if I was an information provider, I think it might make me more comfortable if I knew that I could get into this process and see something wrong with it and fix it at the time. So maybe I should stick something in here that makes that an option as well. Let me do that. I'll give that a try, and I'll run that by you guys. I'll call it Fix in Flight for now. Because I think that's kind of a neat option, is that this can be made more restrictive if need be. Because I think if I was an information provider, one of the things that I would worry about is that I couldn't make it more restrictive, and then I'd be trapped in something where in mid-flight I discovered a problem, and then I wouldn't be able to get out of it. And so maybe another thing is info providers can withdraw to give them an exit path, because I think that's another thing that might cheer them up. I'm really looking for things that will cheer people up, because I'm not sure that we're actually going to need this, but if we do need it, I want to make the people who are contributing what will be a very valuable service to the group. I want them really comfortable, as comfortable as we can possibly make them. Now, are there things, as you know, you guys are both info providers. I mean, are there things in other groups that make you comfortable that we could add to this that you can think of just off the top of your head?
The only other group that I would feel comfortable in actually sharing stuff in is OARC. And the reason why is there's confidentiality agreements amongst everybody that's in there. And it's, for the most part, it's a fairly small circle of people of which almost all the DNS providers knows. And they promise not to share that information outside that group. And so far it's worked out pretty well.
Yeah. And, you know, earlier we talked a bit about maybe asking OARC to do some of this work for us.
Yeah, and in the document it actually describes that they could.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm thinking that that might be a way to finesse some of this, because then OARC could scrub until OARC is comfortable and then pass the scrubbed version back to us. All right. Well, I think what I'll do is I'll go ahead and I'll do some fix and flight language somewhere, and I'll also put in an escape hatch into this, and I'll run it across the list real soon. I'll probably just do it right after this call, and see if we can get you guys to nod to it and then carry it on to the big group and get this out there. That's all I've got. Anything, you know, we're only 15 minutes into the call and everybody can use the time, so I'm happy to stop now, but if there's anything else that people want to talk about, I'm happy to do that too. Anything else that comes to mind? I think we're chugging along. Oh, you know, one of the things that came out on the chat during the DSS, the big group call on Thursday, and it came right at the end, and I wasn't paying attention to the clock, and so I had to shut the call down pretty abruptly, was the what about scary or confidential scenarios conversation. And I know that, and I think Warren brought it up I can't remember who else chimed in. It, you know, I kind of hedged it. Oh, I guess it was Jack that brought it up. You guys know the really scary ones and the really confidential information ones. Are those scenarios describable in a way that doesn't require confidential information? Can you super generalize these things so that we could sort of put them out in the public eye, or are there some that are just so unique that you can't describe them in a generalized way? Any thoughts about that, either of you guys?
Oh, that's interesting. So a lot of these things actually could, if they're an embarrassment to the company in which this has happened to,
right?
It's hard for that company to basically want to try to mitigate the amount of embarrassment.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's basically impossible to describe something that doesn't implicate the actual provider.
I'm wondering if there's some way that we could cloak who submitted the scenario. I mean, could we, for example, could we run a scenario through OARC and then have it come out of OARC?
Oh, certainly.
Because then we could, you know, because the embarrassment isn't the goal.
But
you know,
in some ways, actually working through OARC, which is an independent third party, makes a lot more sense than actually going through ICANN. Because with ICANN, almost all the information providers are contractually bound to ICANN.
Right.
And having it go through OARC, which is sort of an arm's length away from ICANN, it actually helps sort of do the information tumbler and basically puts a good cloaking device on it. And working with them, actually, it solidifies their position and actually helps out ICANN, or this group as well.
Yeah. Do you, how often does OARC meet? Does it meet often enough that you could trundle off to them and ask them whether it would be, because I wasn't thinking of scenarios going through them. I was thinking of data to analyze a scenario going through them. But if scenarios are sensitive too, those would hit them pretty quick because, you know, we've only got a few more weeks before we've got to at least get the first batch of scenarios kind of out in the world. Do they meet often enough that you could ask them whether that would be okay and then maybe field a couple of these if... I mean, you know, this would all happen within the next few weeks, I think.
Yeah, they just met right before the ITF, and that was about, they met about 3 weeks ago.
Oh, okay. And they don't meet weekly like we do. They don't have like a weekly telephone.
No, not at all.
Okay. Okay. So when's the next meeting scheduled?
Actually, that's a good question. I'm not exactly sure.
Because one of the ways we could do this, I mean, if the, let's sort of sketch out how this might work. Let's say that Jacques has a scenario, because Jacques raised it, so I'm imagining that maybe he's thinking of one. If he had a scenario that was so embarrassing that he didn't want it attributed to him. Is there some mechanism that he could send it to you and you could reassure him that you would not divulge it to anybody except OARC? I mean, would you be willing, for example, to sign a non-disclosure with him so that he could push his scenario to you and you could push it to OARC?
Any non-disclosure would have to involve my legal counsel,
yeah.
Unfortunately, within the company.
Yeah.
the thing to do is probably direct them to the right people who could help. Like, for example, Paul Vixey, who's one of the founders of OARC, who's probably less encumbered than me.
That's a good idea, yeah.
So, I mean, we have avenues in which to make that happen.
And okay, well, that's kind of intriguing. I think maybe what I'll do is I'll leave it like that. Should we maybe reach out to Paul and give him a heads up and see if he'd be willing to do that job?
I've already talked to him about this
a
long time ago when we were bringing up this confidentiality agreement into the fold.
Yeah.
And he very much tried to encourage this. And having, I think McLaughlin, was that his name, the current sort of chair of OARC?
Yeah.
Actually come on the call. Matt Larson's actually heavily involved in it as well. There's a whole bunch of people that we both know that are involved with OARC. And I think as soon as we have our first, like, hot example, and it doesn't want to go through the existing channel, we could certainly bring it through OARC, and that would work out pretty well, as it is right now. I don't think we have to do any additional prep. I think it's just there, it's ready.
All right. So I think then that because even bringing up the fact that I have a hot scenario clues everybody in that at least one of the embarrassing scenarios belongs to me, I'm going to go ahead and announce this path to the group.
Okay.
Without attribution. I'm just going to say, okay, there was something in the chat, and there was something on the call, and we talked about it on the ops crew, and there is a path. If you have a very embarrassing scenario, contact one of the following people, Paul Vixey or Matt Larson. About that for the list. Or is there a longer list that we could do?
Well, if it's not VeriSign, the competitors of VeriSign would be reluctant to call on Matt.
Right.
I would just use Paul Vixey or the current chair of OARC. Oh, help me out here.
I don't remember, but I can look it up. Jim, do you remember?
Not offhand, no.
Okay. I'll look it up. Because I think we need an answer for people who have embarrassing scenarios that they want to share. And it could be as simple as, because the OARC won't meet, could be as simple as, well, Paul has stepped up to be your anonymizer. And, you could send your scenario to Paul, and then he could just wing it back to us. And you can work out an agreement with Paul to assure confidentiality. Because if the OARC itself isn't going to meet until quite some time from now, it might be easier and faster, actually, to have an individual who is willing to be the anonymizer rather than the whole OARC, so that it could get turned around real quick.
Yeah.
Okay, that's kind of an interesting possible solution. I'll propose that to the group and see where we go. Okay, well, that's it for me. Anything else? Okay.
Well,
we're
thank
done?
You, Mikey.
Thanks, Christina. Thanks all for joining. We'll see you on Thursday. And it's snowing here. It was 70 degrees 12 hours ago. It's snowing. That's ridiculous.
Thanks, Mikey. Bye.
Bye.
See you later, guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Christina. Great job, as always.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.